Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donica, Chase on this Monday afternoon. Hey, don't forget tonight, Monday Night Football. Join us, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Monday Night Football watch party at Neighbor's Bar in Germantown. Jared and the GM will be there doing their show live from 2 to 6. That's tonight at Neighbor's Bar in Germantown, 313 Jefferson Street. Been there before, Chase?
I have.
You're nodding your head?
I have, several times.
They've
good
got
spot.
Tullamore Dew and Brews for $6.
Right next to First Tennessee Park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. Very nice. $6. Tullamore Dew and Brews. There'll be Jared and the GM there from 2 to 6. That's 313 Jefferson Street. Braden Point, while we await Mike Vrabel to hit the podium, Braden Point has done a little bridge deal. 3-year deal. 6.75, is that right?
Yep.
Interesting.
Looking at the breakdown, looks like 5.25 the first year, 6.5 the second, $9 million the third.
$9 million the third. Now that's interesting because I think
that's all salary. That's not signing bonus.
And I think what that does, like the Zach Werenski deal, is when they make the qualifying offer, they have to qualify him at $9 million plus 10%.
Not 6.75.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's advantageous. So that's how they're getting these done. Several of the players, Brock Besser being one of them, they've gone with that 3-year deal. Mikko Rantanen, that's not been finalized yet, has it?
Nope.
There was a lot of reports that they were on the verge.
I saw,
but
what,
hasn't
8
happened?
Years, 8.5 is what I was seeing. Has that changed? I think that's,
yeah,
what I saw.
That's what has been out there, but it hasn't been finalized. But at least there's reason to think that that's imminent. And then, meanwhile, there's Winnipeg. Still
right.
Going, still hasn't been able to find a way to get Line A or Connor signed, and there's the Byfuglien thing.
I just saw this tweet Brooks Bratton put out in regards to Elli Tolvanen and Rem Petlik being assigned to Milwaukee. Coach Laviolette says both players had great camps, but Preds want them to continue to develop and star in the AHL as opposed to playing fourth-line minutes or being scratched in Nashville.
It's just the way their roster is constructed,
yeah,
right now. They have an abundance of forwards right now.
I was also looking. The Islanders have announced that 7 more home dates have been moved to Nassau Coliseum this year, including October 6th versus Winnipeg, October 8th against Edmonton, another game in October against the Flyers, and then some January and February dates. A couple against the Rangers, one against the Devils, one against the Avalanche.
The more they can move over there, the happier their fans will be.
Yep. Is next year? Next season?
The new one?
The new one?
No, I think it's
a couple more years
off.
Okay.
I believe they literally just broke ground today
at
Belmont Park.
That's probably why then they're making that announcement. Okay. So they've got a couple more years. Okay. That was such a bad move. Everybody knew it, too. Like, what were you thinking? Everybody
but
told
part
you.
Part of it is their own fault. The Nassau Coliseum people, the ones that, you know, didn't commit. And then after they left, that's when they started doing the renovation, and it's just, it's too bad. Hopefully all's well that will end well. Still waiting on Coach here?
Yeah, what are we doing? Huh?
We're in a holding pattern.
Is Coach late?
Not sure.
We're in a four-corner
he
stall.
He is not behind the microphone, that's for sure.
Okay. One thing that did happen, after we got off the airwaves on Friday, big news, right? Probably a couple hours after we were done.
Oh, yeah. Dismissal.
Antonio Brown. Released by the Patriots. Then over the weekend, he says he's retiring, whatever. And today, he's announced he's re-enrolling at Central Michigan as a student.
For online classes.
Online classes. Mm.
And supposedly, I was reading on this, supposedly he did that a few days before he was released from New England. That he was going to take some online courses, I guess, while continuing his career.
How great was the Dana Jacobson,
Belichick
interview,
man,
which they played this morning on CBS this morning, replayed it. It was such a great interview. They played it on the morning non-sports show, like the world. What was the final straw, Coach, with Antonio Brown?
He's getting barbecued, and rightfully so.
Bill Belichick?
Yeah, he should be.
We're concentrating on the Jets. And then, if Dana goes, thank you, coach. Thank you. And then they just kind of stare.
Yeah. Like, he just gives her a death stare.
Like she's supposed to, like, so I'm not supposed to ask you? It's like the biggest story in football.
It's ridiculous. These coaches.
Just give a couple sentences is all you got to do.
They truly do live in a bubble. I'm convinced. Like now, they just act like they have no idea of the pulse of what's going on around them. It's amazing. Like, how did Bill Belichick really, how did he really think he was going to get an interview on Sunday morning and Antonio Brown wasn't going to come up? You just cut him? It's been the story?
Darren, he knows. He just doesn't care.
Like, he doesn't care.
I don't mind him if he says, you know what, we're moving on. We're on to the Jets. Thank you. Like, that's fine. The stare down, I was like, okay, come on now. You don't have to stare her down. She's doing her
job,
too.
All he's got to say is, hey, we gave him a chance, but it didn't work out.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have to go into detail.
How hard is that?
I don't even care if he says that. I have no problem with him saying, you know, we're focused on the Jets today, but don't stare her down. Just say, hey, acknowledge the fact that she's doing her job and has a job to do and has to ask that question and then move on.
Or just answer the question some way, somehow, considering you're the one who signed him. Okay, you signed up for this. Okay, so answer the damn question and quit acting like, hey, you shouldn't be asking. We can do whatever we want, and then, hey, let's not talk about it anymore. That's not how it works, Bill.
Or don't do the interview.
I mean, give me a break. You signed up for that hot mess. Answer the damn question.
Do you guys think that
what he could have done? Take an opportunity to maybe send a message to, you know, like, hey, we don't condone the stuff that's being allowed. We don't do that. We're not on board with that stuff. I know you have to be careful with your words, but you could have sent a message of, hey, stuff that's being alleged, we're not on board with that stuff. We don't want to have any part of that. Now, I get it. He's not, somebody like him is not going to go down that road. But like you said, just something simple.
A simple throwaway answer would have at least played better.
These freaking coaches, man. They just live in a bubble.
So part A is,
it's unbelievable that he actually thought, like, how dare you ask that question? How dare you?
So part A is, what kind of money, if anything, will Antonio Brown collect off of all these? He's got two different contracts that he's been axed from. So what happens with that money? Because I think he's going to make some sort of argument.
I'm
he's
sure
owed some
he
of this money.
Well, Drew Rosenhaus is going to want some money.
Well, yeah. And then does anybody touch that hot stove?
Well, they said over the weekend three teams were interested. But I guess he's saying he's retiring.
Good luck.
Who would be interested in Antonio Brown?
You never underestimate somebody who's desperate.
All right, let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park. Here's the head coach, Mike Vrabel.
This was 5 minutes, not that I have 5 minutes afterwards. Teresa.
To fix things, how do you break it down, and how much time do you allot for it? Is it today, or is it something you work on through the
week? I think it's just a continual process. I think that the thing that we felt like we needed to get back to was we focused over the weekend and today on accountability and fundamentals. And that's just, you know, what I felt like was something that was easy, that we could all look at in the meeting rooms this morning, being accountable. You know, I told him a story. I had a teacher in the fifth grade. I hope he's watching. Not sure if he is or not, but when we got in trouble, you know, he made us write out like 3,000 times, I will take responsibility for my own actions. Figured out later on in life that was called accountability, you know, taking responsibility and fixing it. You know, it's not just enough to say, you know what, I have to be better, but it's like I have to be better and then this is how I'm going to fix it. The fundamentals, I think, is something that I've always felt as a player was critical. You know, I think some of the penalties that we did have could be a result of just some fundamentals and just getting back to concentrating and focusing on our fundamentals.
The challenge being, though, that you're only going to be able to tell if some of this has been corrected in game time?
Well, I mean, I think that's how we're always evaluated. I mean, that's the bottom line, is you get one crack a week to go out there and put your best product out there and to make changes in the game. If things are going in a different direction than maybe how you had planned for them, to fix things during the game. I mean, that's all the challenge. That's the 3 hours and, you know, 10 or 15 minutes that we get every week, and the players' time to go out there and put all the, you know, use all the work that they put in and get something out of it.
Seems like there's a point after which you give up on a certain guy for a certain thing, where you get less. What does Adoree have to do to reach that point on punt returns?
Well, I mean, I think we're going to focus on, you know, improving in that unit. That's something that we have to improve on, and I would say that, you know, there's been accountability there, and you know, we'll look to work in guys as we see fit, and you know, he'll be in there in some capacity.
Does there reach a certain point where?
Well, I mean, I think that there always is, and I think that, well, yeah, I mean, I think that as coaches, you have to figure out what a player does best, what his strengths are, and do everything in your power and what's best for the team to put him in a position to help us. And so, you know, that's kind of where we've been. You know, Hump's done it, you know, and he'll continue to do it, and Adoree's going to continue to work on it. I mean, we feel like he's got a skill set that can help us. You know, I know he'd had some plays there on Thursday he'd like to have back, and you know, only thing we can concentrate now is on improving it and moving forward.
You've spoken several times about Nate Davis needing to catch up. Now, almost a month into the season, you feel like he's progressed to the point where maybe he could be.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I want to try to play Nate and see. You know, the only way that you can see, again, to you guys' point, was the games. I mean, it's hard to. In some of these practices with one padded practice a week, or in last week's case, none, you know, those are difficult things. And so, you know, we're going to have to try to get him ready to go as soon as we possibly can. And I'm hopeful that that's this week.
What are the challenges he's faced with missing so much time and trying to get ready without having opportunity to throw snaps under his belt in a game?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of reps, you know, a lot of reps that, through training camp you have, and in preseason games where you're out there and you're able to maybe run some of your base core concepts and start to build a routine on what certain blocks need to look like and feel like, and reacting in pass rush situations and bodies around you, and you know, live pass rush where, you know, one-on-one pass rush is one thing, but you know, the rest of the guys usually scatter when there's a move by the defensive player. And then in a game, you know, there's other bodies, there's legs, there's traffic. So, yeah, but just there's I think a lot that goes into it. But, you know, we're trying our best to get him. And I know he is. He wants to get back, and he wants to try to help this football team.
Did you get answers from Al on Logan or Correa's penalties?
You know, he did. Yeah, Al got back to us. And so, again, I'm going to try to keep those between me and the league, which is what's supposed to happen. Again, our job as players and coaches is to understand the rules, what they're seeing, and coach it and play to it the best of our abilities. And so, you know, that's something that we're focusing on heavily with the fundamentals and, you know, not leaving anything to chance.
You're talking about accountability. Would you like to live in a world where the world could know if those calls were right or wrong?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I think if they gave me a vote, I would certainly vote to have full disclosure, but that's not what the policy is for the league, so we don't discuss them.
It does seem like there's an emphasis, at least to start the season, to call more of the holding penalties this year. Is there anything you do with your guys? I mean, that's in the heat of the battle, obviously. Is there anything you can work on to avoid some of those?
The only thing I'll tell you is when we got a couple of them in preseason, and if they're at the point of attack, that's really where they're coming up. I can just coach the fundamentals and the proper technique that when a guy breaks the framework of your body, that we're going to have to give him a shove. We're not going to be able to stay latched on to him, whether our hands are inside or our hands are outside. You know, that's what they're seeing, and that's what they're calling, which, you know, it's fine. We have to coach it better and execute it with better fundamentals. And, you know, if we lose a guy, we got to give him a shove and hope that, you know, the ball carrier, you know, can gain those extra yards.
You said over this weekend that part of that emphasis was because coaches in the past have said you guys are missing all these holdings. Do you feel like they're calling it now the way coaches would like it to be? Or is it
I don't think they ever take the coaches' thoughts too much into consideration. Holding was always an individual thing. You know, I had a really great D-line coach, John Mitchell, and I remember showing up at the Steelers and had massive offensive linemen, and I wasn't very good. And I said, Coach, man, I can't do anything. Just hold me. And he said, that's a you problem. You know, that's something that you're going to have to deal with. And so I've never complained about holding.
Is it fair that they had a nice big conference call after the first game of week three was played?
Maybe they had. Yeah, there's always conference calls, and I don't know if the officials had one or.
They had one Saturday night about holding, and holding went down substantially this weekend after your game.
Al has conference calls with those guys planned. Whether those are pop-up conference calls or they're scheduled, I would have no idea.
Got Gilbert, I guess, in first action. I know he didn't play a whole lot of snaps, but what did you see from him in his debut?
Yeah, it was good to get him out there. There was a great play there where he kind of did what we ask our outside linebackers to do. He set a great edge, and, you know, Kamale was able to come with great effort on the backside, and, you know, it looked like run defense. You know, there was a great edge, there was a wall, and, you know, there was a guy swarming there on the backside.
Expect Wake's numbers to vary a decent amount in terms of snaps, or is this about what you expected from the last couple of weeks, around 15-ish or so?
We'd like to see where, you know, him impact the game on third down and 2 minute, and those obvious passing downs, and then depending on how he feels and in what we need, you know, I know that he could contribute more.
Conklin talked about rebuilding his stance as part of his comeback. How hard is that to do, and what kind of a difference has it made for him?
I would say that a stance is a transitional thing. That's a lot of personal preference. I was coached by guys that never really harped on a stance. They made sure that whatever stance I was in, I was able to do my job defensively. I would say that there's probably some changes that have to take place in what you do. I mean, it's hard for me to talk on an offensive lineman's stance. I was a left tackle on a punt team, but, you know, that really wasn't much. I think that the most important thing is that you're in a stance that is functional and allows you to do your job. That's the most important thing.
Extra time over the weekend help you get ahead on Atlanta, or is it more focused on yourself?
Well, I think it was focused on us, but, you know, certainly Atlanta. I mean, they have very, very good skilled players. I mean, they've got a great quarterback. I mean, Julio Jones is as good as you could be. But Ridley is talented. Sanu is versatile, tough. Freeman runs hard, runs violent, runs fast. They have some guys that have played a lot of football up front. They've got a good tight end group with Hoop and Stocker. It's a great challenge. I mean, they've got really good skill players, and you could see when Matt got into a rhythm on Sunday, completed a lot of passes and got his team back into the football game.
Oftentimes, when one side of the ball is struggling, a coach talks about simplifying. Is that something that could help you? Is that something that's been discussed or could help?
Well, I think whichever direction we decide to go with the game plan, I think this week the biggest thing is that we do everything we can to stay on track, that we avoid the self-inflicted mistakes, the penalties, the negative plays, tackles for loss, sacks, drops, all those things that we really do to ourselves on both sides of the ball. And I think, you know, if we need to simplify, then we'll have to simplify. But we just have to be able to not, get behind the chains and live in second and 20 or, you know, first and 15.
What can you do throughout the week just to try to get Marcus in more of a rhythm early and get his confidence going?
Practice well. I mean, just continue to stay focused and be crisp and execute. And I think that you build trust and confidence on the practice field. That when you can execute in practice, you know, that should lead to game reality. You know, that's kind of what we always think. And, you know, there were some good things on Thursday. I'm not going to tell you that they were all great and they were all bad. I mean, because there were some good throws in there. But there are things that we need to fix, and that's a collective effort throughout the offense and me and the coaching staff.
All right, there's some of head coach Mike Vrabel. We'll come back, discuss some of the things we just heard next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Don't forget the live pregame show Sunday, George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue from 9:30 until 11:30. Pregame begins at 7 a.m. on Sunday. So 4.5 hours of pregame here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. That's all brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. I have to believe, you know, I knew this question was coming. I'm sure Mike Vrabel knew the question was coming. I can't imagine. I don't know. I guess there's a scenario where we should be able to imagine, but I can't imagine Nate Davis not suiting up and playing against the Falcons. Like, you, there has to be a better option at right guard than what they've been trotting out there, right?
You have to see what you have in the third round pick at this point. I mean, you've said, all right, well, he missed a lot of time in training camp, which he did, and that's an issue, but he's been back for a while now. You got to throw him in there. I mean, you, at this point, can you do much worse?
I mean, you can't do worse, but, man, that's a lot to expect. Here's a guy that played his college football at Charlotte. He's missed the entire preseason. We are going into week number 4. I understand it's the best option of a lot of options that are not very pleasing, but man, I don't know how he's going to be expected to go in there and give you a whole lot there. That's a lot to ask, isn't
it? Kind of what Chase just said, can the right side get any worse, honestly? Can it be any worse than it's been through 3 games?
Well, for a game, there's
at least the last 2 weeks.
They've got to try it for this game. So then after this game, they have to decide with Luan back, are they better off with Davis week to week getting better and better, and then maybe long term being the solution, or are they better sliding Kelly over there? Because that's the other option. Dennis Kelly seems to be the guy that you can just plug in anywhere. He's much more of a natural tackle than he is a guard, but I think he's proven that he can do it. And he has been, where would they be without Dennis Kelly? I mean, he's done pretty well.
Still, one
since
of the,
he's been there,
one of the best.
He
moves.
Has bailed them out so many times in the utility role. Then you got to hope that nobody else gets hurt or anything like that, right?
Is Palmfield still on the team, or like where is
what
Palmfield?
Is his injury? Is he? Like, no, he clearly is not. He clearly is not ready to come back. But he wasn't that good to begin with.
Who do we all identify as the worst team in the NFL?
Miami.
Yeah, they have trotted out Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen this year, and they just literally get clubbed over the head every week and get made fun of. They've given up less sacks than the Titans.
Well,
by the way, they traded Tunsil.
Yeah.
The only hope that they had on the offensive line, they have still given up less sacks than the Titans.
I watched garbage yesterday.
They're really tanking is what they're doing. I thought Rosen, under the circumstances, looked all right before he got a concussion.
But if that doesn't put in perspective how bad
he came back.
The combination
he came back. Okay.
Yeah, of the offensive line and Mariota has been, that they've given up the most sacks. The Dolphins have given up less sacks with Fitzpatrick and Rosen and a bunch of nobodies on their offensive line.
It's got to get better. You don't want that to be the storyline that derailed the whole season. They've got to come up with a better formula there. I thought Mike Vrabel was very upbeat in his press conference today. Refocused, accountability, attention to detail. You know, interesting discussion there about the penalties, but you know, they got to have this one. They have hurt their margin for error. The Texans got a big win yesterday against the Chargers, in their typical form, right? Where It doesn't look like they have any chance of blocking for their quarterback, and somehow the guy ends up passing for 350 yards every week. It's amazing.
How's that happen? Isn't that weird?
He's got a knack for how to escape.
I want to ask you guys this, because
Jacoby Brissett looked pretty good too.
Yeah, he looked decent.
Isn't it weird though? How can teams do a better job of not letting him out? Like it's pretty miraculous how the same thing happens every week. But it's just a matter of time though before he gets hurt. He is going to get hurt eventually.
But the fact is,
it may not be this year.
He keeps leading them to victories. And by the way, if it wasn't for them just absolutely gagging and giving up a 56-yard field goal, they're undefeated.
Right.
Should have beat the Saints.
They should be 3-0. Or could be 3-0.
They could have won that game easily.
Yeah. I don't know but should, but they easily could have.
A 56-yard field goal and the way they did it? Marching right down the field? Yeah. In what, a matter of seconds?
Yeah. Well, you give Breeze that type of time. I want to go back to something that you were just talking about, Willie, with the offensive line. Because I heard Corey Curtis bring this up Friday with Jared and the GM. You know, when Vrabel got the job, he named his staff. He had a couple of holdovers. And one that I thought he should have kept that he didn't was Russ Grimm as the offensive line coach. Because I felt like there was something with Russ Grimm. Taylor Lewan really, you know, enjoyed playing for him. You saw Taylor Lewan bust out. And even, you know, as you brought up earlier, Darren, when Lewan gets back, I mean, it's not going to magically fix things. Do they look at Keith Carter at some point as the offensive line coach and say, maybe there's a change. Maybe we need to make a change. Because yes, we know that they're struggling, that Jameel Douglas just has not been the guy at right guard, that Pomfield's hurt. Who knows what Nate Davis is. I get all of that. But at some point, is it the coaching?
I think if Lewan comes back and there isn't improvement, especially watching the left side, Lewan and Saffold, that's got to be the anchor of that line. They need to be able to run that way. They need to be able to not give up sacks that way, and then really focus on how do we make the most out of the right side of the line. Then I do think it's a fair question at some point. But in fairness to this coach, he has not really been able to have the cohesiveness because he hasn't had Lewan. And he's had really musical chairs at right guard.
But he had all last year.
NFL is musical chairs. We got to stop saying everything is not perfect. There is no perfect scenario in the NFL with any roster.
Fair point.
Everybody deals with musical chairs every week. Week in and week out. Musical chairs all the time. Kansas City loses Tyreek Hill. They lose Damian Williams. They lose the backup to him. And what do they just keep plugging in, guys? And they just keep running all over the place. That's how it works in the NFL. So either you adapt or you get blown up. I mean, there is no such thing as a perfect roster. And everybody's healthy. And everybody's available. Everybody deals with this. Yet we always keep acting like here, like it's only the Titans that are dealing with musical chairs. Or this guy's down. This guy's suspended. Everybody deals with that.
So do you buy
the
Chase's thing is maybe the offensive line coach is not doing the best that they can do?
I guess it's fair, it's fair to bring up. I think what you said is probably the best way to think about it. If things don't look any better with your stud left tackle back in the mix after this week, yeah, I think it's fair to bring up and at least to discuss.
Because I'm going to be honest, I've been disappointed in Roger Saffold.
I've been
disappointed, and I understand you're missing Lewan, but at the same time, we were just praising Dennis Kelly. Dennis Kelly hasn't done bad considering the position he's been thrown in.
You gave him a lot of money, a lot. He was identified as the best guard out there on the market, and they've played this game before, and it didn't work out with Andy Levitre, right? They paid him the big bucks, got him from Buffalo, and it didn't work out. So as we've talked about, sometimes just throwing money at people
and then he goes to Atlanta.
Doesn't fix. By the way, our thoughts are with Jalen Ramsey. I know that he called out sick today, so I know he's feeling a little under the weather. So he's not at Jags practice. So our thoughts are with Jalen Ramsey as he skipped practice today because he's a little under the weather.
Tummy hurt.
Does he have to get a note?
I don't know.
I just wonder if that phone's ringing about the two first-round picks people are supposed to trade.
Does he play this weekend for them?
I don't know.
I mean,
he's
basically forcing, right? This is what he's doing right now.
I mean, it's got to be
okay,
done.
Okay, I played Thursday, but get me out of here.
Doesn't it have to be done today? Otherwise, they're in the same boat they were in last
year. Yeah, Tuesday, you got to have to pay. All right, we'll come back. And more of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. The bottom girls, rockin' world go round. I see a lot of you are retweeting the video that we put out earlier. Chase and Willie with the Collinsworth slide-ins, the tickets.
Nick Kale said 9.2 out of 10.
There you go.
On the slide-in scale.
At 102.5 the game, I'm talking, they do the slide-ins. I guess I was Al Michaels, they were Chris Collinsworth. All you have to do is retweet that video, and you can be at Auburn, Mississippi State. If you get picked, you'll be eligible. Auburn, Mississippi State this Saturday. Tigers and Bulldogs. Auburn off to a really good start. Jacob, what's up?
How's it going, guys? So, y'all are beating down the offensive line, and I don't disagree with that. But I think everybody was expecting Saffield to come in and just be off the top great. But I don't think anybody's looking at, okay, whenever he first come into the league with the Rams, he wasn't very good until they got Whitworth from Cincinnati 2 years ago. That's when he made both All-Pros that he's had in his career, which were second team. He had literally no awards, wasn't a Pro Bowl. He wasn't anything before Whitworth. So maybe he looked good because the guy beside him was really good.
But nobody's really complained about Dennis Kelly and his play. I mean, he's not Taylor Lewan, but it's not Dennis Kelly's play that's really getting all the talk.
But Kelly's not bad. I mean, that's the thing. He's a backup. That's what he is. You don't expect him to be out here running people over, handing out pancakes every day. He's a backup. And in all reality, he's a backup because he's a utility and can play multiple places on the line. If he could only play right tackle only, he probably wouldn't even be a backup.
I think you bring up some good points, Jacob. I think where a lot of people are, and it's not Saffold's fault because, you know, you take what you can get, and we would all be in the same position. He got paid really well, and I think when you get paid really well, the expectations go up, right? So you're expected to come in and dazzle everybody, and maybe it's not fair, but when you get paid high bucks with your big left tackle or not, you're expected to look a little bit better than what we've seen through 3 weeks. I don't think that's unfair either for people to say, I expect him to look a little bit better.
That's true. But I just think people, like I said, I think people's expectations were an All-Pro guard. And in reality, I think he won those two All-Pros because the guy that was standing to his left, not necessarily all his play.
Okay. Good points. Thanks for the call.
I think there's something to that.
Have a good one.
You too.
I think there's definitely something to that. And that's why, you know, while Lewan won't magically fix everything, I do think the left side gets a little bit better. And that's no disrespect to Dennis Kelly, but I think Lewan adds something to Saffold. But Saffold's got to do his part.
You got to hope it, because there's still other questions, like how healthy and how effective has Ben Jones been? And then Conklin, as Teron Davenport pointed out, it's not like Jack Conklin was dominating his guy.
Yeah.
You know, he had, there was a lot to deal with over there because the guy next to him was such a weak link. But there's a lot of things that they've got to iron out here. But the bottom line is, if they can find a way to win on Sunday, 2-2 is about where you thought they'd be after 4 weeks without Lewan. Now, what's changed is they have already missed the giant opportunities, right, to play Jacksonville right after their quarterback got hurt. And then the Colts game was right there in their hands. They left it on the table. So you feel better. But 2-2, I take.
Yeah,
if you told me August, the day he was suspended,
right,
they'll go 2-2 in those first four games with three of them on the road, I take it.
The only thing,
but they've got to win this game. I was not impressed at all with the Falcons yesterday.
No, they haven't been impressive all year.
But they're 5.5
points
favorites.
Which is why I said there's a chance they have an opening at head coach.
That's a fairly big line.
Yeah,
in an NFL, agreed. I did not expect that. I thought it'd be more like the 3-3.5 that you would typically see for a team on the road.
Is it five and a half now?
It's 5.5.
5.5.
Not now. That's what I've seen it
last
open
night. I saw it at 5.
When I looked at Bet Online, they just put it out there, the opening lines, it was 5.5.
Yeah, and that's That's an interesting one.
That's pretty, like you said, that's pretty high. Indianapolis is a 6.5-point favorite over Oakland in Indy. New England, only a 7-point favorite over Buffalo at Buffalo. I say only just because, you know, New England, I guess, take the Antonio Brown. I guess the line was going to get readjusted and come down, but it says a lot about the Bills. It's pretty good. I mean, I know they're undefeated.
Indianapolis, by the way, could be 3-0. They're 2-1.
Yeah.
And they're a heavy favorite. They're likely going to be 3-1.
Texans are home against Carolina. They're likely going to be 3-1.
Carolina, the kid played a pretty good game yesterday. I was surprised.
He's got to play good again.
He's going to be out there again. But a great opportunity for Houston to get to 3-1.
The only thing about the, you know, being 2-2, and I mean, that's what you want at this point. You can't change the past. I hate that they're 0-2 in the division. Because when I said if you got through
that was a problem last year with the tiebreakers. That's why they had to win that last game, and 9-7 didn't get them in.
Because when I said you could go 2-2 with those four games, I said one of those wins needs to be a division win, and it didn't happen.
And then the conference plays into the wild card too. They had they dominated the NFC games last year, but their conference record wasn't good.
Right,
and they lost a lot of those key, like the Chargers game. You know, that's what forced them to have to win to get in on that last
weekend.
Would
you say Seattle is a tough place to win?
Yeah.
At Seattle? It's amazing. Drew Brees goes down and, wow.
Yeah, Seattle in the rain. Seattle.
Saints, how did they do that? I mean, how did they adjust? I mean, they don't have their Hall of Fame quarterback and they go on the road and win in Seattle. How do they do
Impressive.
It? So I said, teams deal with adversity all the time. It's a matter of who can figure out a way to get around that. Carolina didn't bother them. They went out to Arizona and just smoked Arizona with Kyle Allen. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's Arizona.
Okay, but it's on the road. Kyle Allen?
Win's a win.
Kyle Allen.
Okay, you don't have Cam Newton. You got Kyle Allen, and you go out there and you beat up on the Cardinals on the road. It's not easy to win on the road in the NFL. I'm just saying. By the way, Jacksonville's in Denver to take on the Broncos. That line is 3. The Broncos are 0-3, and that's the first time they've been 0-3 since 1999.
They got
20 years.
They got some issues
since they've been 0-3.
Emmanuel Sanders, they put the quote up earlier, said we're a whole lot of suck right now.
Yeah, that was Emmanuel Sanders.
By the way, 1999. You know that was they were the 2-time defending champions. So that was after the Elway retirement. They
didn't get to the playoffs. They've never made the playoffs starting off a season 0-3.
That was the Bubby Brister.
But what does that say? They're the favorite over Jacksonville.
They are the favorite over Jacksonville.
They're the favorite by 3.
Holy cow.
I'd take Jacksonville.
Stock is down.
Isn't that? I mean, how do you explain that?
So that I thought about this. Like the stock is down on the Titans, the Vols, and Vanderbilt, right? They're all stock is down. So which stock would you buy low? Yeah, that's. Who's
right
got
now,
the best
I'd
shot
probably,
of digging out of it?
I'd probably buy the Titans stock.
Yeah.
You'd still buy the Titans stock?
I probably would, too.
Over those?
That's a tough question.
Yeah. Based on expectations.
But here's the
thing,
though.
Based on
Vanderbilt,
expectations.
You could say, well, they've played their meat. I mean, that's okay. That's their big meat of their schedule. So now things will get easier. So, I mean, you could make a case for Vanderbilt. Tennessee still got Georgia and Alabama.
Tennessee, it looks bleak right now.
I can't see me buying their stock. Titans, I mean, I don't know. You're right. I mean, that's a good question.
Like, based on expectations. Tennessee's expectation was to get to a bowl game, right?
Titans were expectations
Vanderbilt,
to be great.
Get to a bowl game.
Am I buying stock for them to get to great
playoffs.
This year? That's I don't know.
Well,
probably
but make the playoffs, I think, is the reasonable expectation.
Okay.
Yeah, and making the playoffs doesn't make you great.
Right.
But just, still, though.
But making the playoffs is better than not making the playoffs.
Yeah, you can't have a conversation of great without playing January
football. Exactly, and I'm not poo-pooing making the playoffs, but I don't want to hear any more of this good to great stuff and like, oh, we made the playoffs, we're great. No, that's not exactly how it works.
We'll come back and wrap up Monday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Some Whitney Houston from
Man,
back in the
good.
Day. There was a cover of a Whitney Houston song at the Predator game. On Saturday night, I noticed, between periods, on the band stage.
Was it I Want to Dance with Somebody?
Yeah. But this is, I Want to Dance with Somebody is getting played everywhere now. This is kind of a we need to bring this one out a little bit.
So
more,
emotional is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Look, I will admit, I love Whitney. I love some Whitney. I'm all about it. And I told Max, I said, can we get a little Whitney today? I need a little Whitney on a Monday.
Okay. Okay. So we've covered it pretty well. The theme, as we kind of brought up at the end of the segment, last segment, the stock is down among the three most notable football teams, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and, of course, the Titans. And so I'll be curious where things stand over time because it is early. It just a football season is so interesting because you stew all week about a bad performance or two bad performances, and then all of a sudden, if you win one game, it can really turn things. But that's the nature of being a football coach here.
It's perfect because John Fox, who's now with ESPN, was on Morning Drive today. And I had Max pull this because I thought this was perfect, you know, about the Titans, because he was asked about the defense doing their job and you know, they were making plays, and then the offense just couldn't get things going. And I thought his answer to this was interesting as it applies to the Titans.
So much about building your culture and your organization, you know, as a team first. It's we, not me, you know, being more selfless, not selfish. You know, that holds to a side of the ball as well, whether it's offense or defense, you know, how you react to sudden change. Again, when you're, you know, part of life is doing things for somebody bigger than yourself. And, you know, when you have that selfless culture or mindset, you know, I think that's what helps you weather that. And, look, this game's about matchups. There's going to be some games where, you know, look, your offense is going to have to bail you out as a defensive squad. You know, whether it's a real high-powered offense you're playing, the defense, you know, it's important that the offense keeps you off the field.
You know, what I think about when I hear that is – the most disappointing thing about the Titans' defense so far is they haven't had the bailout.
Yeah.
Right? They haven't, like, that big red zone stop just to hold a team to a field goal after the you know, the Adoree Jackson play, for example, or, you know, the 55-yard run. Just they're close to really being an outstanding defense. They've done some good things. You know, I heard Mike Vrabel say in the press conference, not everything was bad, right? When you go back through, it's never as bad as it seems, never good as it seems when you win. But it's so stinging not to have won one of the last two games for so many reasons. But as John Fox, another thing that jumped out at me, matchups in the NFL, right? You hope that the matchups are better against the Falcons, right? Maybe the defensive backs, the depth you have in the defensive backfield helps you against a guy like Julio Jones trying to curtail some of those weapons, which is their forte. I think there's... I can see them going to Atlanta and winning, but they've got to have their best effort.
They got to have the matchups, and I liked what he said about the culture, and that's where I think having the mini bye, having this week after Jacksonville, after two bad losses in the same week, to, you know, to step away, look at yourself in the mirror, and say, "Hey, this is on me. We got to get this going," and because they're big on culture over there. So, I thought that was interesting. And then earlier in the interview, he said, "You know, look, we're still in the first quarter of the season. You know, it's just like a game. You can't win and lose the game necessarily in the first quarter. You can, but you know, you have to play the whole season. There's a long way to go. They get LaJuan back. A lot of things can change. So I think that that's something that Titans fans need to look at as well.
All right, let's hit the headlines as we go out and pass the baton to Jared and the GM. They're ready to go. Saquon Barkley, a high ankle sprain, out 4 to 8 weeks. So the euphoria of the Daniel Jones, he looked very good. He got them the dramatic win, but they lose Barkley for a good while now. So especially fantasy owners who probably made him the first pick in the draft, they've got to be bummed about that. Jalen Ramsey calls in sick. What's going on down there? We'll see. Monday Night Football tonight. Bears, Redskins.
Yeah. Interesting.
One of those, you know, how good are the Bears?
Right.
If they're good, they'll beat the Redskins.
The Bears have to show how good they are tonight against a bad Skins team.
The Predators roster is now down to 26. We will be there tomorrow at their practice at
Looking
Centennial
forward to that.
Sportsplex. So for your layers, Chase.
Yes. You
ready to go for that? We'll have a lot. We'll have some people from the Predators on for sure. Mitch Light will come down there as well from Athlon to talk college football during the noon hour. So lots to discuss. Fun week coming. Jared and the GM coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.